Come on, guys. Thank you for doing what you guys do. I know you spend a lot of time at it. I know DJ does it, but I think he likes it, so that doesn't count. So when I get ready to prepare the sermon today, I'm the guest speaker once again. I've been the guest speaker probably 20 times. So like I always say, I don't know if I'm a guest speaker anymore, but that's a slide that he has. And so I just consider it very fortunate that I get to come up here and have people that will actually listen to me and that I might actually have something valuable to say. When I was preparing this sermon, I started thinking about verses I like and this and that, and I got into running. How many in here have ever ran a race? I can't see what. At some time, maybe you're in kindergarten, you know, because it doesn't seem like a lot of old people run races anymore, you know. Maybe swim, sometimes bike, but the scripture talked about a running race, and so we got to go with that. It's kind of interesting because I think a lot of us have ran races. Kids nowadays, they get participation awards. I'm not a big fan of that, but to get any kid off the couch, the computer, the video games, to me, it's a little bit like, hey, at least you came out here and participated. And I think that's good. I'm not a big fan of it because even the scripture, and I'll get reading this, it talks about running a race to win the race. When I was growing up, we didn't get participation awards. We got trophies. And I remember I played at West Urban Baseball, and they gave, you know, there are like 20 teams in it, and you get a first and a second place trophy, you know, and I remember having that trophy. We had a pretty good team because we had a guy that pitched in the majors, so nobody could hit him, and his little effort that I had to do, I got a trophy. And so I still remember those trophies. But as far as running, they always wanted me to run, and I wasn't a big fan of running. I ran in sports, but I tried to find something in track that wasn't, I didn't have to run very far. And so I pole vaulted. Be like, what, you pole vaulted? That's scary. Not really, you only had to run about 20 yards. That's how I looked at it. You only had to run from here to about there. And so I pole vaulted. My middle son pole vaulted and went to state and pole vaulted. I wasn't that good, but I coached him in pole vaulting. And the bad thing about pole vaulting a little bit was there's three bad things that could happen in pole vaulting. The first one is you don't want to hold too high on the pole because as you go up, you might not make it over. And then you got to come back down, and that gets real scary real fast. You come very cat-like and you turn around and try to land on your feet versus landing backwards upside down. That's horrible. The second one is if you don't make it and you knock the bar off and it hits the mat and then you land on it. And there's nothing worse than having the bar across your back. That's not the worst. The worst is you get one foot over, but not the other one. I won't go into any details on that, but I pole vaulted some. So those were some of my challenges. But eventually I did actually end up trying to run a race. And it was when I was in college, and I was dating my wife, and my father-in-law was running, and we'd go run at night, or we'd go out, he lived down the country, we'd go run like a section, so we'd go run 4 miles. It was nice and cool and everything, and we kept building up, and we kept talking about, well, maybe someday we should run a marathon. I said, well, how about a half marathon? I was a little less adventurous at that time on the running thing, but so we ran, and we trained, and we got to the point at night, sometimes we'd run 12 miles. Sometimes dogs would chase us. Sometimes you never knew what happened at night, but we started running, and so we entered into a race that it was in Wichita, and we ran a half marathon. Well, and I have to clarify. So as we started out, it got hot and sweaty and sticky, almost like a day like today, and it was in the morning. And as we were running, I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I'm doing good, you know. And I used to always beat my father-in-law, because at the end I could out-sprint him. So we started running, and he had his watch, and he's pacing himself nice and easy, and he goes, hey, Alan, we're going too fast. I said, no, I'm good. I'm good to go. So I'm running, you know, and I'm even kind of keeping up with the head pack, like I'm going to win this thing. I mean, that was my goal, but I mean, I knew that these people were world-class runners and this and that. And I remember as I ran that there was a guy in a wheelchair and a gal that had horrible form that was probably at that time 45 years old and looked like she was killing bugs as she ran. And I'm like, well, at least I can beat them too. As I ran, you had to run three times around to basically 4 miles, over 4 miles. I got around the first one and I was dying. I mean, I'm like, and I ran it in a great speed, but I am just slowly going downhill fast. The kind of the old adage of I took out too fast and I didn't pace myself. I was that guy. And what happened is my father-in-law passed me around 7th, 8th mile. I'm like, oh God, what's gonna happen? I gotta live with him the rest of my life. Oh, well, if I married his daughter, I did. So deep down inside, I look at it now, I got the prize, I got his wife, I got his daughter. So I won the whole situation because I had to run with him and then eventually I ended up marrying his daughter. But in the process, then I have to hear that he beat me in the marathon. So I could hear that Christmas time, July 4th, yeah, that's it. But anyhow, so by the 8th mile, guess who passed me? The gal that ran horrible. Like, oh, jeez, this is horrible. And I'm at just past a walk now. I mean, and I'm thinking, this isn't good. And so I run about another mile. I get up to about the 10th mile, and guess who passes me? The guy in the wheelchair. Now, in my defense, we were going downhill. And I think that was not fair. I should have just jumped on and rode with them. And about the 11th mile, 10th and 11th mile after he passed me, I said I was done. And I gave up. It's probably the only thing I've ever given up in my life. It's been probably one of the best lessons for me. I failed. DJ gives me crap because I always talk about all my successes. And my successes happen because of all my failures. I have failed so many times in my Christian walk, and by running. That's why I don't really run. I run now like an old man because I referee. And I had a guy the other day who goes, man, you run like an old man. I said, because I am an old man. I said, I can't run like I used to, but I'm still running. That's how I look at it. So needless to say, that was one of my experiences for running. I did a little bit of research, and I don't know if any of you guys have heard of the Penn Games. It used to be called the Penn Relay Carnival. It is the oldest and largest track and field competition in the United States. It started annually April 21st, 1895, by the University of Pennsylvania. It has the most participants in it. Right around 15,000 people participate in it. It still goes on. It was during COVID and World War II, they stopped. On the last 3 days, they usually run about 100,000 people that come and watch it. And so I have a video, and so I'm going to show one of the videos, and it's a little bit different than what you would think. So if we can, I tried something different. I'm trying to expand my horizon with computer and videos and stuff like that, because usually I'm not that type of guy. But so let's play the one video. So
97 years old, lane one, that is Edward Cox from the Syracuse Chargers. He has no qualms about being at the starting line. But I was just going to say, they were holding their position better than some of the high schoolers.
These are all guys 80 and older.
And hear the crowd at the Penn Relays for 80-year-old sprinters. They played four at the Dominic Serrato, I do believe it is. 16:02, and he had a headwind to run into in addition to the driving rain. And there is Mr. Cox from the Syracuse Chargers.
And Phil, people are on their feet on that back stretch. Look at that. That was just as exciting as the women and the men collegiate races.
I don't think they got the support like that either. They got the best. I mean, come on, hit the crowd.
And Craig, back in 2011, I participated in the USATF Masters up in Berea at Baldwin Wallace outside of Cleveland. Right?
The reason I played that is, if you noticed, it was bad weather. And they were a little bit old. You see, many times in our lives, we stop running because we're too old. Or fill in the blank. Have you noticed that? Let's go ahead and pull up the verse I have. You guys are like, okay, I'm done with this running stuff. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So in other words, we're supposed to try to get the prize. There's no, I mean, in this situation, no participation awards. We get a prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last here on earth. In fact, half my trophies are broken half because I didn't do a very good job taking care of them. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever, referring to our lives. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike and blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, and here he's talking about the sin in his life, that he's got to control his life. I myself will not be disqualified for the prize, which is eternal life. So I'm using some of these running analogies as far as how we run our life. Many of us, and probably like I did, when I became a Christian, my motivation and thoughts were amazing. As I've gotten older, I get a little bit more complacent, a little more content. That's not necessarily horribly bad, but we still have to finish the race. I know two people that it's been fun to watch and a little tough. One is my mom, who's back there, because my dad passed away. The other one is my father-in-law, who beat me in the race. Forget that part. Because my mother-in-law passed away. They're at the end of their race, but they have still parts to go. They're not done with their race yet. They have a lot to offer us. I learn a lot from my father-in-law, my dad, my mother-in-law, my mom. And so part of their race is helping the others around them. But in this message, in these things, there are four things that I kind of picked out that I thought were important in our Christian walk. We need to run a race, and the first one is direction. All of us have to have direction in our lives. If you didn't have the course and follow where you need to go, it would be a bad deal. I actually, when I work at the lake, they've had a handful of races out there, and I've had to mow where they run. We have a cross-country course. I mow that so that they know it's in a field and it looks like mice running around the thing when they run their cross-country. But they have to have direction. They have to have some course which way to go. And some Christians lose track of that direction. A lot of Christians don't even have, or non-Christians don't even have direction. I know in my Christian walk that the direction, as I became a Christian, it became very clear to me. I wanted to follow the Lord. That's my direction. Now, where that goes on each of us, our courses aren't exactly the same. We all have certain things in our lives that we're better at and so on. And you would never get me up here playing the guitar like my son and singing. That would scare me to death. And I wouldn't be good at it. So each of us have directions that God is calling you to follow. Also, there's going to be obstacles. In fact, expect obstacles. In our life, when you signed up to be a Christian, you have to realize that it's not going to be all hunky-dory all the time. That there are going to be obstacles. Expect them, and how are you going to handle them? How did, I look at Job's life in the Bible. I'm amazed at how he stood up to all the obstacles that he had. I mean, and if you don't know, read Job. He had friends who were like, man, dude, you need to get out of this thing. You need to cuss God. No, I'm not doing it. No matter whether he took my family away and gave me sores and all kinds of stuff. He never, ever reacted in that way. So one of the things is expect obstacles. and don't get off the course. When that happens, you follow the wrong path. You'll know. Hopefully you have Christians that help remind you, or you'll know. Many people choose drugs, alcohol, such and such. There's a lot of other obstacles out there. Those are just a few. Get back on the right track. Next one, it talks about strict training. Running, I mean, when I think of strict training, I did strict training when I did the marathon, the half marathon, even though I didn't succeed, I failed. We ran all the time. And sometimes the motivation wasn't always there, but I knew that that's what I had to do. Know your distance too. I'll follow that with that, whether it's a sprint or a long distance. Many of us live our Christian lives as it's a sprint when it's actually a marathon. And pacing yourself is very important. You can't just go out and help everybody and not ever think about yourself. You know what I'm saying? You have to limit that. As a youth minister, I've been asked to help contribute to this and this and this and this, and I can't say yes to everybody. I'd like to, but I can't. There are other people that have to step up and do that too. When I call strict training too, in the scriptures I also talk about, strict training to me is knowing the Bible. Do you know the Bible? Do you read it? Do you study it? I have verses that when I was in high school, I went to a really amazing youth minister and youth group that he says, does anybody want to do some memory work? I'm like, oh geez, I got to memorize Bible. But we had a little group of people that we would say the verses, and there were 12 of them. We'd start out with, we start with one, then you do two, and then you do three, until at the end, I could say all 12 of them. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That was number one. I'm old, so that was at least 45 years ago. 40, maybe, I don't know, somewhere in there. That's how good my memory is. But that's one of the verses. I can almost name them all. You see, when you go in strict training, as a Christian, you probably ought to kind of know the Bible. Yes, pick it up now and then. I brought this up numerous times. My daughter and I still get up every morning, except Saturday and Sundays, and read the Bible. We just about finished Psalms. We've already gone through the New Testament. We're going through the Old Testament. She's all good. Proverbs is next. That's kind of exciting when your daughter says that. So that's part of the strict training, getting to know that. So then when situations happen, you'll be prepared to handle them. Because there's a lot of situations that happen in life, and how we handle them as Christians, other people are going to be watching us. They're going to be viewing us and seeing how we handle them, and whether we're helping other Christians or other people. But that's important. So kind of know the content. Have direction, know the content. Third is effort. If I asked you to rank yourself, I'm going to make you raise your hands or tell you, how much effort do you put in your Christian walk? Many people go, oof. And sometimes it's like, well, this year I'm really good. Whether it's giving or witnessing or whatever. I'm just talking about in general. How much effort do you put in? Do you read the scriptures? Do you share the gospel? Do you give to the causes? Do you help people? Do you witness? Those are the things that when I start talking about effort, and I'd love to go, I got a lot of effort, one of the biggest things, and my son knows this, that when to me, effort and motivation go together, and sometimes you're not always motivated. And when I always made a comment, when you're not motivated, that's when self-discipline has to step forward. When I used to lift weights a lot, I still lift weights, I don't always feel like it. I'm not always motivated, but that's when self-discipline steps forward. One of my favorite sayings is, your try wasn't hard enough. And out of all the things that I've ever said in my life, I think that's kind of been one of the best things for me and for my kids. I have a funny story. My middle son, when he was young, I asked him to go up to his room and get something. You understand, most people, that's probably okay, but his room wasn't very clean. So it was going to be a little bit more of a challenge. So I'm sitting there, and he goes up, and 2 minutes comes back down, said, "Dad, I couldn't find it." Well, that wasn't very long. I said, "Well, tell you what, son, if I can go up and find it in 5 minutes, I'm going to give you a whooping." And he looked at me like, he goes over to me and goes, "Dad, you just stay right there." And puts his hand right in front of me and goes, "I'm going to go look again." Do you think he had more effort that time? Oh, heck yeah. Guess what? 5 minutes comes back down with it. I don't remember what it was, I wish I did. Comes back down with it. "Did you find it?" "Yep." You see, his effort was motivated by, well, me. And I knew that he could do it, but he didn't want to give the effort because he didn't see it as being very important. My other son, DJ, and I'm not supposed to use him in stories, but this is a good one. He told me, "Quit using me in stories." I said, "Sorry, it's going to happen now and then." I remember we were in third grade, we were coaching football. And we were kind of trying out our football team. And Joe Snook, who was a linebacker in college, was the head coach. He became a good friend of mine. And he said, "Let's just do a little challenge with them." So we had them all sit down, and Joe started doing push-ups. He said, "You all right, do push-ups with me." Sue was the last one doing push-ups. After about 10, all the big fat linemen were out. Some of the running backs and like that. DJ was the last one. He was still doing them. Now he was struggling. He was getting to the point where, I don't know if he remembers that, but they were starting to get a little bit less nose to, you know, but he was the last one. Awful proud of that because his effort was there. And I'll never, ever make a comment about his effort. He's always had good effort. But in this situation, we don't get participation awards. There's not a participation award on our effort. I will say that that we do have moments where participation might be all that you got. Just like when I participated in the half marathon, I didn't win, but I did learn from it. Pace yourself through your efforts. I brought this up too because what happens is in life, we can get worn out. And I think that happens to a lot of people in their lives. My wife and I talk about this all the time. Like, man, I used to have energy galore. Now it's just a little bit of energy. And I got to figure out where I want to put that energy. And like I said, a lot of the middle-aged and older people, I appreciate you still having energy when this motivated me on the run. I mean, these people are all over 80. How many people are in here over 80? No, anybody in here over 80? My mom is. Raise your hand if you're over 80. All right, there's about 5. Okay, when you're over 80. I'm going to brag on my mom, too. She walks at the zoo like 2 or 3 times a week. I mean, she used to walk 10 miles a week. That's pretty good. More important, though, what I'm saying in our Christian walk, pace yourselves. Don't get burned out. I've seen too many people that do a lot of work in the church, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and they don't even come to church again. I don't want that happening. Pace yourself. Pick something to do something. I mean, there should be an effort. You know what I'm saying? And lots of times, they used to say that 10% did 90% of the work in a church. I would love to see everybody do a little bit. This is one of the areas I like this. This is something that I can participate in. If people still come and listen to me talk, I don't know why you guys are here, but needless to say. There are 2 books. I got to put a plug for these. A guy named Mike Iaconelli wrote them, and they're called Dangerous Wonders and Messy Spirituality. If you ever want a book on some of this stuff, it is fantastic because he starts talking about, and exactly, we expect life to be like this. I get better, less sin, I move on, such, such. And it's more like this. Don't think you are bad because it's like this. Because there are days that my Christianity, my love for God has not changed, but my effort was 20%. Does that make me less of a Christian because the next day I had 80%? No. So we pace ourselves, and that kind of, the way I look at the chart, it kind of fizzles out, and kind of as it goes up, it should go up. And sometimes it might go down. My Christianity, my love for God has not changed. And I've always made the comment that if I'm not serving God, I would rather die than not serve God and live a great life. And that sounds pretty harsh, but that's how much we should love God. So, I have to say, many people even quit witnessing in their efforts because they don't see any effects. They don't see the outcome. Years ago, I had a girl in my youth group that she was witnessing to one of her friends in high school, and the friend just wouldn't come around. And she comes to me and says, you know, what do I need to do? She's, you know, I've given her all the information and she's still skeptical and this and that, and she hasn't made a decision. I said, well, you're gonna have to wait in God's timing. Because sometimes you just planted the seed. And all that is planting the seed, but you don't get to see the outcome. Well, that's kind of a bummer. You kind of want to be, not that you're toting your own horn, but you kind of want to be the person that sees the outcome in the end. The ironic thing, I think it's been a little while, that same kid told us that that person became a Christian. And I remember telling her at the time, just wait, it might not be anytime soon. It might be you planted the seed down the line. And she said, I remember Alan said, I had to wait in God's time. But yet, that doesn't mean we should stop witnessing because we don't get to see the outcome. Effort isn't always the same of the outcome. And that's kind of an unfortunate thing because we love the outcomes. There are some challenges in life that are tougher than others, and the effort is going to take more. Sometimes surviving them is the win. I think there are three kinds of people on the effort. There are people in the arena, there are people watching, and there are people criticizing. I think we need to be very careful on those, but we need to try to be in the arena. I've got one more video up here. Here's my knock. If you want to go ahead and play the next video. So does this guy write at 8 seconds? Because that's his goal, is to write at 8 seconds. He didn't write 8 seconds, about three or four seconds. Was it a victory? Kind of depends how you look at it, isn't it? I'll be honest with you, that's me. That was me. At 40 years old, I decided to go to a bull riding school, do something stupid. As you notice, I was wearing a helmet. I wrote for about, DJ kind of timed it, I'm being very fair in saying 4 seconds. It wasn't a failure to me. It wasn't a failure to me, but I only wrote 4 seconds. I didn't make it all 8 seconds. It was really hard. It wasn't easy. Sometimes that happens in life. You know, you have those challenges, you're like, I just can't do it. I've tried. That doesn't mean I'm gonna quit trying. Well, now I am, because I'm going to say I'm too old. I just don't want to get hurt. I've already been there and got hurt. In fact, when the bull went down and after I rode, I remember looking up and going, oh, this isn't good. He's coming right at me. I kind of wanted to go, time out, time in, time out. It didn't work that way. I just buckled up and he threw me backwards. And then I got the heck out of there as the clown came over and got him. But sometimes we have challenges in our life that are tough, and we don't always succeed. That's okay. But stay in the arena. As Christians, we got to stay in the arena. In the world that we live in nowadays, sometimes we get out of the arena. You know what's funny? It's kind of interesting as I just thinking about this, but Jake's right there. I met him. Jake is one of our camp hosts at the lake. I met him because I was mowing one time, and he got up and moved his stuff out of the way so I could mow around him. And I got talking to him, and he's like, you know what? I kind of want to be a camp host. I said, come on, be a camp host. You know, you could get a camp out here for free. They've been here, they've been back ever since, been camp host. And I got talking to him one time, I said, well, do you know I'm an ordained minister? And he goes, no. Well, I'm a believer. I said, well, you ought to come to church with me sometime because they're at the lake. And so I was like, you know, you might as well come here. So I'll be there Sunday so I can hear you preach. Sometimes it's just planting a seed on that effort. Thanks for being here too. You made my point. It's even better. All right, what am I at now? Last but not least is motivation. We all need motivation. Sometimes we need to motivate ourselves. There are times I didn't feel like running that half marathon and going training and such. There are times I didn't feel like such. The feeling part has to sometimes subside and go, but self-discipline does. We need to have self-discipline in our lives. Motivation can come through other people. That's why I ran with my father-in-law, because when he'd go, I'd go. It was time spent together. So sometimes in your Christian walk, other people can motivate you in your Christian walk, and you can motivate them. That's the way it should be. Husbands and wives, kids, brothers, sisters, friends. I don't know how many Bible studies I've gone to, and I wasn't always the teacher, which I like. I like to hear other people talk and see what their views are and their thoughts when we're interpreting the scriptures. We have to also have to have a positive situation in all circumstances. That's probably one of the hardest things out of all of them. When you're staying motivated, if you can stay positive, and I've gone through a lot of rough times, and a lot of people, other people have too, just like Job, but staying positive sure helps. And that can motivate other people. I still think nature motivates me half time. When I work at the lake, I keep thinking, my God, you made this. I go up the mountains, go backpacking, God, you made this. I go snow skiing, man, God, you made this. The times I've got to travel and I get to see all of the nature. I also thank music. And I had to put this down. When I come here, I'm motivated by the Christian music. It keeps me focused. What happens when we don't have motivation, we become very lukewarm. And I don't think that's good. We need to stay away from being lukewarm or burning out. And that's where you do when you follow your course, you stick to your training. When you have good effort and stay motivated, then you can follow the course and not get burned out or not go lukewarm. I have one other verse that I was going to read, and it's I'll just go ahead and read it. And I just wrote it down here. And Paul states, but the one thing that I do, forget what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, at the end, we run the race of life. Through all the obstacles, through motivation, through all the stuff that we go through, we stay focused on God, and in the end, we win. Let me say that again. We win in the end. We have eternal life in heaven. I wish sometimes that we knew more about that. I really do. I've heard a lot of poems and stuff like that. What's in time? What's it going to be like in heaven someday? As I said, I've died, but I wasn't dead long enough to know what the other side's like. And so what it's going to be like, I can't imagine, and most of us don't have the knowledge or even can fathom and think outside the box to what it's going to be like. I do know that, because all we know is what's here and now. So my comment is stay motivated, and we win in the end. That's a glorious thing. Doesn't that deserve a hallelujah? I think it does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all you've given us, Lord. I thank you so much for us being able to run the race, that we have direction in you, that you are the head of the direction, that we follow you, and as we follow you, that we stick to their training, we do what you've called us to do, and read the scriptures and follow it, and that we stay motivated, and we have a good effort as we strive to do. We're going to make mistakes along the way. We know that. There's going to be obstacles that, well, we might just survive it, and that's okay. But at the end, we also realize that you're the God of gods. You own heaven, and you decide who comes in and who goes out. As we know in the Bible that if we do these things, that someday we'll win the prize, the crown, and get to be there eternal life and love on you, Father. And what a glorious day that will be. Many of us can't even fathom that. We can't even think outside the box to be there. But if we start thinking about it a little bit, I know you reveal that to us and how exciting that can be. I pray that you be with us throughout our life. Continue to be with us. I pray all this in your name. Amen.